Well, hello, all of our lovely people.
Hello.
Thanks for tuning in to Twisted Tales. This is Faye.
It's Lisa.
I remembered all our intro bits and bobs.
Did you?
Well, I said hello. I didn't get hung up on the time of day. I remembered to say our name and my name.
And you said everything correctly.
I know.
That's
and
a plus.
I didn't.
There you go. Now you're screwed.
Talk too much.
I didn't.
Beetlejuiced myself.
Oh my gosh.
I'm ready to sit back, relax, and listen to you tell me a horrific story.
Man, that's probably like the worst intro that we've done in a while.
I don't have anything to rib about.
I thought you told me a good story the other day, but maybe it was somebody else.
No, I did. Remember, I said I thought of something really funny, but I think...
Oh, yeah, but we couldn't say it on the podcast because you are definitely... We would lose viewers.
We don't have enough viewers to lose them, but yes.
We have plenty of viewers to lose.
Well, no, I see...
Awkward silence.
Yeah. It was a bit too far out of the line. I would have been so far away from line, I couldn't see the line.
Yeah, yeah. We've all been to that moment where you're so slap happy in life, like you're tired, you're exhausted, and you just say something that is so off color. Like,
I didn't have any of those excuses. I just sent you that text, and then I was like, ooh, this is hilarious. And then I thought about it and was like,
well, maybe I laughed because I was in those stages. I don't know.
No, I think that we both just have horribly depraved, twisted minds.
Yeah,
things that we think are funny.
Most people don't.
Most people find it
offensive. His finger fell off. Sorry.
Although you did say that one time. Because I was trying to justify making my statement. And you said that one time in the summer road trip, both of our stories, they lost their heads. Except mine was the lady's head and yours was not an anatomically correct head with like eyes and a mouth.
Yeah, I did say that, didn't I?
Yeah. And I've gotten to the point where
dick joke!
I don't edit.
Sorry, guys.
So, you know.
You probably should go back to doing that. I'm just saying.
They don't like us in our full, raunchy, debilitating humor, then, you know, they don't deserve us.
That's right.
So all five of you, thanks for tuning in.
Thank you. Your love is noticed.
It is.
It is. All right. So I don't know if you've ever heard of a woman, young lady named Charisma Carpenter. She was
Charisma.
Yep. So you've obviously never heard of this woman.
No, it sounds
she's actually
like
an
it
aspiring
sounds like
actor,
the lady
and
off
if
of
you
Buffy.
Saw
though.
Her, well, if you saw her, you'd be like, oh my god, yeah, I know her. Go ahead, look it up.
I'm gonna look it up now. It sounds like the name.
Don't read anything about her, though.
I'm not. I'm just gonna look up an image. But her name sounds like the chick from Buffy, the vampire, the pretty one. Well, I mean, a lot of them were pretty.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this chick is pretty too. But So back in 1991, she started getting this like uncomfortable feeling.
That is the girl from Buffy.
Is it really? Okay. Yes. Well, there you go. She was a Dallas cheerleader too, I think, at one point.
I know who she is. She's from Buffy.
Well, maybe you've heard the story. Maybe not. Maybe I can intrigue you tonight.
I think I did.
No reading. Put it down.
I'm just looking at pictures.
Down.
I love Buffy.
Good puppy. There's your good girl.
I hate you.
Anyways.
Uh-huh.
We're in early 90s. So,
the
you know.
The best times of our lives.
I was I had like a monologue. That I started writing about how wonderful the 90s was.
Is that the part you were like, this was stupid?
Yeah, that was, and then I was like, that's a terrible idea.
It is not. The 90s were amazing.
Like, the only time I was like sitting here thinking, like, this is like the only time in America where I could do something stupid and it wouldn't be on the internet
that was
within
so
10
good.
Seconds. Like,
although I have decided that if phones with video cameras were a thing back then, I'd be a millionaire if I could have recorded all my brother's antics and submitted them to America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, absolutely.
Or I would be on the ridiculousness almost every night because
yeah.
The things those two used to do.
I can understand that completely.
I'd be famous right now instead of
I would be famous for the absolute like opposite reason. I would be like the redundant play of like Fail Army. where they're like, they just play the same embarrassing video over and over again. That I think that'd be my life.
The '90s were a good time, though.
It was a good time.
The fashion's coming back.
It is.
Bella wanted one of those little like that says black wire mesh, like they almost look like tattoo necklaces, and I'm like, this is not the butterfly clips.
I might have one upstairs. She can have.
Like... I'm a hoarder. I don't throw anything away. All these boxes of clothes in my attic aren't so laughable now, are they?
You got like the candy cane or candy kids is what my brothers used to call it. And they're like the rave people, you know, they call them candy kids. Yep. They had those plastic, rubber bracelets that are like super, super thin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I literally had an entire monologue about how wonderful the 90s was. And then I realized like getting through the story that I'm going to tell you, like.
But if you go back and watch any of those shows from back then, like, okay, I did love Buffy. Mm. And
I don't think I ever watched it.
Watched both of them.
I watched Charmed.
I loved me some Charmed. But I made your brother start watching Buffy with me again. Some of them were kind of embarrassing to rewatch. But I do love me some David Boreanaz, even because he's on SEAL teams now.
Okay. Yep.
Still find him as a beautiful man. But because we were watching SEAL teams and I was like, Angel. So then we had to go back and watch Buffy because I made him watch Angel when we first got married.
Oh, okay.
It used to come on reruns all the time with Charmed. We watched them both.
Yeah.
But so I made him watch Buffy and I was like, half of these like clothing choices are, I see them around now.
Yeah. And then you like watch some of the old episodes and stuff and you're like, oh my God, that's what like Twilight looks like. That's how bad these graphics are. Oh,
some of it's just like the acting is like, I love XXX and I love all the Fast and the Furiouses. Absolutely love them.
Yeah, I think I saw
watch
one.
The first Fast and the Furious today, there are several moments. Like when she says like the cat fight, she's like, meow. I'm like, oh, I'm embarrassed for you.
I'm embarrassed for you.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. We just strayed way off track. Yeah. All right. So, Charisma Carpenter in the 90s. Started hearing some weird things at her apartment. Lived by herself. Young girl. Aspiring actor trying to make something of herself. Started getting really paranoid like somebody was watching her.
Okay.
And so anytime I think anybody starts to have that feeling, it's something that doesn't just go away.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's just kind of in the back of your mind, like I heard this at night or it sounded like somebody was trying to get
Cordelia
into my door.
That was her name on the show. Cordelia.
Literally, I'm never going to get through this story.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Cordelia.
Cordelia. Mm-hmm.
Cool. No comment.
Continue
All right.
Continue on with your life.
All right. So like I was saying, so. She's going through all this stuff. She's trying to live her life. They're out in San Diego, California. And she's basically, you know, for the most part, on her own. She's got her friends. She's got everything. But very, very uncomfortable with her living situation.
Okay. This is not the story meanwhile, I thought you were telling, so I don't know anything about this.
Yep. Meanwhile, during that time, there were some other things going on in San Diego. That hadn't really been attributed to anything yet. On July 6th, a young woman, I just read the wrong thing. I'm so sorry.
Obviously, editing will have to occur tonight.
Oh my God. All right, so.
Hooked on phonics.
Worked for me, dude. Yeah, I skipped an entire paragraph.
It's like trying to get my first grader to read. You just skipped 5 words. So.
I did. Well, I'm going to go ahead and name drop another person, another young lady in her 20s in San Diego. Her name was Charlene Agnos.
Easy for you to say.
It's too many sounds. I'm just going to call her Charlene. We're just going to go there.
Just do that.
Agnos.
Oh, my God.
I give up. She is 20 years old. She's kind of like right in between. I just graduated high school, but I'm not really an adult yet.
Yeah.
So still, you know, kind of childlike, innocent, whatever. Kind of new around, decides that her and her boyfriend are going to go to a party on the beach, right? So this couple heads down the... I'm sorry, it went out. What? What'd I do now? So I'm going to name drop another person so we can get back on track. Her name was Charlene Agnos, and she was 20 years
old.
Look
at how beautifully you pronounce
that. Yeah, it's a really good thing that you're going to edit out the first time I tried to say it.
I am not going to edit that part out.
Oh, my dude, you're the worst. I sounded, oh, man, see, hold on. I almost did it. I almost made a very bad joke. I'm not doing that because we'll lose viewers.
So continue. Charlene.
Right. Charlene, 20 years old, living her life, San Diego, California. It's beautiful. And she is, you know, trying to figure out who she is. Am I going to college? Am I going to, you know, what, like, just get a job? What am I going to do?
No, she's not. She's thinking, what's going to get my parents off my back and let me have fun with my friends?
Or she's thinking, I got me a boyfriend and we're going to go out, we're going to have some fun, and we're going to go to a party at the beach. So, party ensues. Everybody's down there. Everybody's having a really good time. And her and her boyfriend decide they're going to go take a walk on the beach, right? Okay. It's pretty standard, right, when you are that age.
Yeah.
You want to be alone with the love of your life, right? So.
For outgoing people, yes.
Cool.
I would have never gone to a party on the beach when I was 20.
Oh, I so would have.
I would not. I was.
Oh, that would have. It would have been, like, epic for me if I, you know.
No, no.
That's a lie, Faith. We were in our 20s. We did some weird. We can't say that because what if our parents listen?
Yeah, but I mean, our
I was going to call you out for the dumb things we did in November because we thought it was funny.
Our weird things were putting on prom dressing and writing on people's windows, not going to drunken parties on the beach.
That's true. We also did jump into the lake in November because we thought it was funny.
Lake and egg.
Lake and egg.
Back on track.
Back on track. All right. Anyway, they decide they're going to go for a walk down the beach, be romantic, whatever. They lit themselves their own little bonfire.
Okay.
And they're just kind of chilling, canoodling, doing what young couples do. And some guy comes up to them, approaches them on the beach. He's dressed in all black.
Okay.
Black face mask, the whole nine.
That's not a good
ski
mask.
I'm
just going to tell you right now, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
Their night went downhill.
He shines a flashlight in their face, points a gun at them.
Bad night.
And, you know, basically, it almost kind of leads into. I'm robbing you is kind of like the sense that they had asked where the boyfriend's keys were. And the boyfriend was like, they're in my pocket. And he basically never took the keys, just told them to stand up. So the couple stands and he proceeds to lead them down the beach.
Okay.
In the opposite direction of the party. Okay. So now you've got two young adults, very young adults.
Yeah.
Being led at gunpoint down the beach.
Run in a zigzag pattern. Don't comply. That's when you die. Side note. We were talking about...
I love you so much right now. It's not even funny.
Why?
You'll see in a minute.
So I was at small group on Sunday morning after church. And we were talking about something like, I don't know, hiking or something. And it went into snakes and sharks. We were talking about sharks. That's what it was. Because I said I don't get in the water because that's where the sharks live and I respect
their
habitat.
Even in the lakes, guys, by the way, just an FYI. Sharks live in the lakes in Tennessee.
Bull sharks can live in both salt and fresh water.
They're not making it all the way.
You don't know that.
To the Tennessee River.
And I used our hashtag stay inside, stay alive, and every person in there looked at me like I was crazy. I was like, I'm going to just move on with my life.
But there are so many stories that I'm going to start telling eventually just because you're like, oh, stay inside, stay alive. And I'm going to be like, here's this home invasion.
Yeah, I get that, but I don't want to be mauled by an animal.
Yeah, I can attest to that.
I worked at home today, another side note.
Yeah.
And I was trying, my cell phone does not get, like, great reception.
You did realize, though, at one point you thought you were going to die at your house because of the snake, right?
Yes, I did. But I don't get great reception inside my house. And so I went outside to talk to my boss about this account we're working on. And I look down by our fire pit and look at that. It's a baby freaking snake. Lost my mind. Like, obviously, it got burned by the fire pit because your brother had, like, a raging fire and was burning all this, like, trees and stuff.
It's dead. It's not even amongst the living. Like,
but I was still like, what if it's just a black snake, like that big, huge snake that was in my house? What if it was just, like, its baby? So I was too afraid to even get off the deck and go, like, poke at it. I didn't have a stick close by. Like, so I finally
gathered.
You have
a problem.
No, no. Wait. It gets better. I finally gather my courage to walk over there so I can snap this picture for your brother. And I'm not kidding. I'm like complaining to my boss that there's a baby snake outside. And he's like, do I need to come over? do you, like, this is why you need to quit working at home, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that is a plastic snake from Bella's Halloween decorations. It's not even real, yet it held me captive and terrified for 30 minutes.
So, real quick, another side note. So, I have this fake rubber snake. It's a fake rattlesnake.
I freaking hate you.
And
so
it doesn't
much.
Look real, but it ended up being put outside in the sand pit when the guys were out there doing the fence.
Oh, this isn't where I fell from the
and
attic.
This is not, no, I'll tell that one in a minute. Okay, so
it's not my first
I'm sitting here
on the plastic
and
snake.
I see the snake. I know the snake was there because I tripped on it the other night taking the dogs out before the guys came and did the fence. And I just left it there. I don't know why. I just didn't pick it up. I was like,
"You're
it's
an awful human being." With
no,
a black
I'm just
heart.
Like, it's 11 o'clock. The dog just pissed in the house. I'm already just done. Go to the bathroom. I'm going to bed. I've got to get up tomorrow. Like, that was my mentality. So I left it there, and I came home on lunch break the following day when they started the fence. And this snake is like in the middle of the yard, and I'm sitting there. That scared the shit out of somebody. Like. Because why wouldn't they just toss the fake snake onto the deck, right? Like, yeah, it was in the middle of the yard, like somebody was saving humanity.
It like, is not that unrealistic looking from experience.
Yeah. Okay, so I was getting Christmas decorations down one year, and I found the snake in the attic in an old toy box.
And Faith
was kindly trying to help, and I thought it would be a really good idea.
No good deed goes
to
unpunished.
Scream. Bloody murder at the top of my lungs in the attic. And then I threw the snake down
at
the freaking
head.
Ladder.
At my head, you did. It hit me as I broke all your mother's ornaments, screaming.
And then you almost broke your ankle.
Yeah. Over all your mom's Christmas ornaments that I crashed and broke.
Oh, guys, you would have had to have been there. I'm sorry. I'm twisted and I think it's funny. Anyways, now that we've gone off on another 10-minute tyrant of
resumes
just random crap.
twistedtellstruecrime@gmail.com.
What?
Nothing.
You gave some kind of punchline there.
I did not.
Yes,
move
you
along.
Did. Yep. Uh-huh. All right. So, like I said, this couple is being led down the beach at gunpoint, and he's kind of just taking them, like, to this set of caves, basically.
No!
Yeah.
Heck to the no.
So,
you both run in opposite directions.
Back in,
he can't shoot at both of you.
Well, they go back into the cave, and he pulls out, the gunman pulls out duct tape and tells Charlene to duct tape your boyfriend's hands and feet.
No.
Basically, you know, hands behind your back, the whole nine, right? So, she does. She complies because she wants to live. You know what I mean? Like,
that's not the way to live.
But
that's,
some people, you know, everybody always has a different point of view. And
I'm not
being
saying
in that
I
situation,
do
you don't know.
I'm not saying I would do it different, but I'm saying from the outside looking in at a bird's eye view, if you will. No.
Yeah.
Don't comply. Stay alive.
That doesn't rhyme.
I don't remember what I said earlier that rhymed. So that's what we're going with.
Don't comply, you won't die.
That's what I said. Don't comply, you
won't
die.
I don't know. I just guessed. I was like, what rhymes with that? Kind of.
I don't know.
All right. Well,
we'll figure
care.
It out when we post.
Will you stop throwing me off task? Look, the only reason that your podcast lasts an hour and a half is because you have so much information, it's mind-numbing. Mine lasts so long because you do this when I want you to do this.
They can't see your hands.
They don't need to. They know.
They do know.
They know there was a sock puppet hand up here.
Because they're all
giving
going,
words
shut
here.
Up. Okay, continue.
All right, so now boyfriend is duct taped, and he takes Charlene and leads her up further into the cave and asks her, no, not asks, there was no asking. He told her, pull your t-shirt up over your head.
Yeah, didn't see that happen.
Yeah, no kidding, right? She's complying. She's just doing what she has to do because at this point,
scared.
During like the interview that I had seen, you know, she's emotional. She's telling the story, and it's almost like she wanted to convey to people, like, I just didn't want to die. You know what I mean?
People victim shame.
Yes,
like,
they do.
I get that I say you both should have ran in different directions, run zigzag and stuff, but I don't fault her for...
Right. Hindsight's 20/20, bro. You weren't there.
Like I said, I don't know that I would do it any different, confronted in that, especially when you have someone with you that you love. I mean,
yeah.
It'd be one thing if I was with you, sure. Mm-hmm. Take her, she's Bindi, and run away.
Mm-hmm.
But Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, when you're there, you're all just the trying to
survive.
Yeah, make the best decision that you think you can in that time.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate that she does have to, like, justify what she did in an interview to stay alive.
Well, I don't think, like, it's, I don't know that she was, it was, she wasn't being, like, asked to justify it. It was more.
But she felt like she did.
She felt like, yeah, she felt like she did.
Yeah. It's sad that you feel like that. You lived through an ordeal and you made it through.
And, you know, we always talk about all the time, Faith, is, like, one of the major things we always say is we will never fully understand what the human mind is capable of, mm-hmm. but we always talk about it in a gruesome way.
Yeah.
But when you talk about some of the things that victims go through and survive yeah. and mm-hmm. overcome it,
yeah.
there is no limit to what the human mind is capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, legit. I just wanted to throw that out there. Anyways, so he started, like, yelling, screaming at her. She's trying to follow directions. He's screaming at her, you know, just do what you're told, do what you're told. And he just, like, kept getting more and more pissed off. And apparently, at one point, basically, like, confessed that he couldn't get an erection.
Okay.
And that's why he was so mad, because he wanted to rape her. So
good for
then,
her.
You know, we're putting the gun to her head. We're doing whatever it takes. And then he proceeds to rape her. Okay.
Oh, man.
So she literally, like, for the interview that I watched her do, she was telling people, like, I talked myself through it. She was like, you know, I was just telling myself, just do what you're told. Just stay calm.
Yeah.
Just do what you're told, and you're going to live through this. It's going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. So after he, you know, finished his whatever, he told her to get up and tell her boyfriend to stay where he's at. So,
and he had to just sit there and listen to that.
Yeah.
Oh,
within earshot.
Sucked.
Okay. So she, like, runs to him. He's already got the duct tape off of him, like, ready, like, from his hands.
Yeah.
And he's trying to, like, get up and do what men do, right?
Good for him.
While he told her to go do that, he took off the opposite direction and he got away. So the boyfriend called the cops, and you can actually hear the audio, and I'll tell you guys, like, where I got the story, where I got the idea from the story, and all that at the end. But you can hear him calling, and he's like, we need the cops down here. I need an ambulance, like, right now. My girlfriend was just raped on the beach. I need somebody to get there. You can hear her in the background sobbing and screaming, like, she just, like, it was like she could stay so calm in that moment of all the and then as soon as it's over, there was nothing, she had nothing to be able to hold it back.
It's like when you really hurt yourself and you don't feel it at first, but then all of a sudden, all the pain comes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your body's too
numb. It's like once the adrenaline is gone,
yeah,
the pain sets
in.
The
reality of,
you know what I mean? It's like people, like, and people describe it all the time in Shark Attack. They're like, you know, they don't have a leg and they're swimming back to the beach. They're not writhing in pain.
Yeah.
They're trying to get the F out of there.
Yeah.
Because it's survive or die. And that's their, you know what I mean? And I contribute that to the same way that she was feeling in that moment. Like,
yeah.
My adrenaline is pumping so hard. What can I do? What do I need to do?
Like,
to stay
you're
alive?
Just trying to think of how to get through this, but then afterwards you're living with the ramifications.
Yeah, pretty much.
Gosh.
Pretty much.
Sucks.
So the cops get there and they take her in, you know, the rape kits, the whole nine. She finds out that she was not the first victim of this thing, right? That she was actually, there were two others before her.
Just from the DNA?
No, I think, because none of them were dead. These were all people, it happened, and we called the cops, and we told cops the story.
And it's the same lineup.
Same
situation.
Same MO. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So cops are kind of like, well, it's, you know, one time, yeah, that's crazy, that's weird, right? Second time, really? You know, third time, somebody's out there and they're doing something.
Yeah.
Right. It's a pattern now. This is serial.
Yeah.
So then comes around July 6th, another victim that was, name wasn't given, was attacked in the exact same manner, same MO, boyfriend tied up, she was raped. And then they were basically let go. Same kind of deal. Point the gun at your head, kind of faking like I'm going to rob you, but I'm not actually robbing you.
Yeah.
I'm just taking you to a safe place so I can do what I want to do and then whatever.
Gosh, that sucks.
And so cops at this point, they're like, okay, something has to get done about this. We don't know what to do. And this is clearly a sadistic thing that's happening because it's all the same. It's a couple. And it's like, we're going to, what's the word that I'm looking for, Faith? Help me out here. To make a man feel less than a man.
Emasculate.
Emasculate. He's going to tie them up.
Yeah, and make them listen.
And make him listen.
And watch.
I don't know that they watched. That I couldn't confirm or deny. I don't have that information. But
jeez.
To me, that in his sadistic mind, he's like, you wait while I do my business.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to sit there like a good dog, and that's it, right?
Jeez.
So, again.
Is it all couples that are, like, outside? Is he using
they're
the
all,
same cave
they're all
system?
At the beach.
Cops at the beach.
All different beaches. All different beaches throughout San Diego.
Sucks.
Okay? So, the cops, at this point, they're like, we have a serial rapist on our hands. It's obvious.
Yeah,
okay?
100%.
So, they did what they could do. They set up lookouts. And they had cop stations at different beaches in the area.
Yeah.
And you don't have a description.
No.
You don't have any information whatsoever. There's
and
no DNA.
Beaches are by
there's
nature
nothing.
Very large
yeah.
stretches of land. So
yes. Yeah.
You can't cover the whole beach.
So they literally station themselves at these popular-esque places that he had attacked before, right?
Yeah.
Thinking maybe he's just going to, like, that's his comfort zone, right?
Right.
So after the July 6th incident, 2 weeks later, like almost to the day, another attack happened. Okay?
Okay.
Only this time, it was two little girls, 13 and 14.
No.
Dead serious. 13 and 14 years old. He raped the 13-year-old twice.
What a piece of absolute. Is he caught? I need to know by
During the attack, he was being just like cruel and like kind of sadistic, asking the girls if they were virgins. And then saying, well, not anymore. Yeah. So.
Oh, words, anger.
I know. So, before I get back into any of this, like. What? Your MO is a man and a woman.
Yeah, how do you go from that to children?
Innocence? Like, literally, it's like he started a path and then started digressing so fast because he was getting away with it and nobody knew who he was. And no, it was like he was freaking untouchable, right?
Because he kind of was at that point.
He was untouchable. So, again, guy's crazy. Cops are completely
at a loss.
Yeah, they don't get it. Like, how is this guy seem to be one step ahead of us all the time? So on August 15th, Charisma Carpenter decided they were going to go out with her two friends, Arthur and Aldo. Okay. And she was excited. She just wanted to get out, go do something. She's been stressed out. The whole weird stalker guy thing just creeping her out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to take two of my favorite guy friends and let's go to the beach. Okay.
No.
Well, according to her and the interviews that she was given, which I can attest to this. Okay. You're in your early 20s. Did you watch the news?
Well, that, and even if you did, it's
not
everybody
really.
Thinks it's not.
Yeah. You
happen
have
to
that
me.
Mentality, right? Nobody that gets into the ocean thinks I'm going to get attacked by a shark.
I do.
Nobody that walks outside thinks I'm going to get struck by lightning. Like, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't.
I'm always on the offensive.
It's that rarity. Yeah, I know you were.
Mainly because I'm scared of life. But, you know, tomato, tomato. We'll just say hypervigilant.
So, she honestly said, I had no idea that any of this was going on at that time. So, the three of them take off. They go down to this beach. And boys do what boys do, right? Spare the moment, whatever. I'm just going to drop trowel and go, right? So the two boys get down to their undies, leave their clothes in a heap on the sandy beach, and go jump in the water to have fun.
At nighttime?
At night.
That's when sharks eat. Have you never seen John?
Charisma, on the other hand. All of these attacks happened at night. These were not at broad daylight, right? Or evening, right? So, Charisma, on the other hand, a little more dainty than that, okay? So she's going to take her stuff off and fold it nicely and goes to hang it at the lifeguard tower. She heard rustling at the lifeguard tower.
Don't go to that.
Right? And I'm sure she probably freaked out, screamed maybe, whatever, because she's in the back of her mind, somebody's stalking her.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So the boys come running back up from the beach. And what they find is Charisma being held at gunpoint with a flashlight in her face. And he tells everybody to get on their knees.
At this point, so it's now, 3-1, though.
It is 3-1. So, I'm sorry. The guy's like, where's your money? Your wallet? Same MO. I'm going to rob you, basically, is what he's trying to convey to these people.
He's
that
not going to
this
rob
is, them. Yeah, this is what's happening. Arthur and Aldo are like, dude, all of our money, our wallet, all of our stuff is down at the beach, like toward the water. You know, it's all down there. Just go get it, take it, and leave, right?
And she's got to be recognizable at this point. So that's like a feather in this jerk's hat.
Yeah. So he asks her, no, he asks again. I'm sure none of these people are being asked to do anything. They're being told.
Yeah.
Aldo, go down there. Get your all's clothes, bring them back up. Aldo proceeds to go down there, gets the clothes, comes back up, right? Because at this point, in anybody's mind, we're not thinking the worst case scenario. We're thinking this guy, probably homeless.
He's going to rob us.
He's robbing us, right?
We can cancel our credit cards.
Exactly. So he hands the guy all the stuff and proceeds to make him kneel back down and tells Charisma to take the belt off of the jeans and tie Arthur's hands behind his back, okay? Yep. She gets the belt. In her mind, she's like, this is not going to end well.
No, no.
This is not going to end well, right?
No,
and, you know, her mind at that moment, where a lot of people go to panic, I feel like she was more, instead of panicking, being kind of, okay, I don't want to say it because it sounds like condescending or maybe even victim shaming, but she was being more logical at that moment. Like,
well, also, I mean, you got to think about
everybody it. Reacts different. Like,
not only that, she has the hindsight of being on a television show where they do fights and they're the Scooby Squad, and you know what I mean. Like, I understand it's vampires and fictitious, but she does a show.
She was probably not even on the show at this point, people. Though. You know what I mean?
True, maybe.
But I'm saying, like, people do react differently. It's fight or flight. It always has been, right? Some people are literally, it's engraved in their brain and their heart that I'm going to fight my way through this, right?
Okay.
And some people are like, I'm going to lay here and take it and do what I need to do to survive.
Yeah.
It's just the way you're wired as a human being.
Right.
So she gets the stuff, gets the belt, and wraps it around Arthur's hands, and she feeds the belt through the hole and laps it over to make it look really nice.
Yeah.
But she didn't buckle the whole thing the way through.
Smart girl. Okay.
Now, she was, and the way she said it was almost like me and Arthur were in sync at that moment because he just sat there. He knew I didn't tie him. Okay.
Yeah.
And he just sat there and pretended to be bound because he was going to wait and see where this was going to go. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So then he proceeds to tell her, get the other belt from the pants and tie up Aldo. At this point, she decides in her mind, I'm going to procrastinate. I'm going to pretend like I can't do this. And so she's like, I can't get it to stay. This isn't working. Come do it yourself. Like, I can't do this. Right. So now this guy's getting pissed. Okay?
I love that.
Gunman. Yeah. Gunman is like, do it or I'm going to blow your brains out. Blah, blah, blah. Threat. And she's like, I can't make it stay.
Oh, I'm such a helpless girl. You need to do it yourself.
Pretty much,
right?
Yeah. Right? So finally he gets fed up and he literally walks around to Aldo and points the gun in her face and says, hold the flashlight. Okay?
With pleasure.
She's holding the flashlight.
Bash him on the head with it.
And so he proceeds to try and, like, get the belt wrapped around, but he still has a gun to everybody.
Yeah, he only has one hand.
You got one hand. You had one job, bro. Right? And so now Arthur's over here, and he's like,
now's my time to shine.
No, it's dawning on Arthur. It's dawning on Arthur. He's like, this is what I read about in the paper. This is that guy. And he knew what was going to happen, right?
Dang.
So this guy is like, the gunman having a mental breakdown. And then she is a smartass, is like,
which is not helping him and his erectile dysfunction.
Right?
She goes,
well, what are you going to do next? Rape me? And he goes, you bet your sweet ass I will.
And it was almost
like the dawn rose over Arthur. And he's like, if I don't do something, this is not good. Right?
Yeah.
So
what good friends she has.
I know, right? So this smart man can't do it with one hand.
Yeah.
Stuck the gun on his lap while he's squatting. Okay? Yes, he did. Arthur was like, my turn, right? And just bum rushed him, okay?
Awesome.
Aldo's not fully in shackles yet,
No.
He's still a little free, and it just turns into a sandstorm on the beach of these three men fighting. So gunman gets the gun back up.
Oh, man, no one took the gun?
He tackled him to the ground, but he still got the gun, okay? Because Aldo's on his knees.
Yeah.
There's not much he can do at this point. He's got to rip off whatever he's done.
Yeah.
So, but you've got these two boys now on the, and they're just like waylaying this guy, right?
Yeah, they are.
The shots are starting to get fired. All of a sudden, Aldo drops to the ground.
No.
And so she's standing there literally in this moment with this flashlight, like almost frozen, like deer in the headlights. Like this is happening.
I thought we were getting robbed.
Right.
This is more serious. Oh, God.
And so she's like, what do I do? What do I do? Help. I need to get help, right? Takes off running down the beach. She goes to the nearest place that she can find. There are cars everywhere. She's pounding on doors. There are RVs, all kinds of, she's like banging on doors. And from this point in her story, she's like, all I can hear are gunshots going off. And all I could think were both my friends are dead.
Who were protecting her?
Yeah.
Dang.
And so, you know, the clip shows back to what's going on with Arthur. Apparently, Aldo was literally bleeding out at this point because he got hit, like, he got hit right in the stomach, but it hit his liver.
Oh, no.
And the guy, like, it was actually interesting listening to the way that he was, like, telling the story.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I've never been in a fight in my life. He was like, but the moment I decided I was going to attack him, I was like, I may not have ever been in a fight, but this is one I'm going to win. Yeah. Like, you know what
I mean? I'm not going down
without a fight.
Yeah. No zero.
So at some point, she's up there. She's screaming. She's yelling. Somebody call 911. Anybody. Somebody freaking, like, help, right?
Yeah. She's.
So she gets back to their Jeep, and she starts hearing noises from behind her, and it's Aldo. And he, like, literally crawled his way back up, but the guy's, like,
on
his deathbed. Okay, there are still gunshots being fired at the beach. They have no idea what's happening.
With Arthur.
And at some point,
holy crap.
Arthur said that they were in a battle and he was like, I'm taking the gun. I'm getting this gun, right? And so they're literally like locked in on this weapon right now. And Arthur starts to kind of get it toward him.
They can't see her hands, but she's pointing the gun back to
herself. Right. Sorry.
Dramatic, Rena.
I'm very, very, very handsy when it comes to talking, okay? So they're twisting the gun back, and Arthur is getting progress, like going toward him.
Toward him, yeah.
The gun fires. The guy screams in pain.
He got hit?
He got it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Arthur's trying to, like, get back up. The guy still won't let go of the gun. And the guy's like, just go. Just get out of here. Like, leave. Run. And Aldo's like, Arthur's like, okay. And so he laughed, actually, in his statement, which is why I laughed earlier. He said, I ran in a zigzag pattern just in case he was going to fire some more shots. So now at this point, he's charging up the hill, and he sees Aldo laying there, and he sees Charisma, like, trying to get, like, Aldo up, like,
get in the Jeep.
And I'm sorry, I'm probably really loud, but I'm so excited about this story, right? So Arthur looks down. He's got a hole in his chest.
Oh, dang.
So he's been shot in the chest, didn't even know. Like, again, what we were talking about earlier, like, with what your head
Ow!
And adrenaline, right?
Yeah.
And so they're like, bro, you've got to get in the truck. Like, he's literally bleeding out. Okay.
Gosh.
And
for
basically,
a first fight, he did it right.
Right. And so Arthur's sitting here, he's bleeding. Charisma's freaking out, and they're all trying to get Aldo into the truck because they know he's going to die. He doesn't look good. Okay.
Yeah.
And so basically, Arthur was like, they were like thick as thieves. Like, they were best friends.
Yeah.
Arthur looked at him. He was like, bro, I can't pick you up. I can't.
I got a hole in my shoulder.
Yeah. Like, if you don't get into this Jeep, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And somehow, miraculously, got himself up and, like, jeez, literally threw himself to the back of the Jeep.
Wow.
So Charisma's in the back of the Jeep. Arthur,
with
the
hole
in his chest, okay? He's like, I'll drive, right?
Buckle up, buttercup.
They take off.
Bumpy.
At some point, the cops were already, like, on their way. So somebody heard something, I would assume, and called.
Yeah.
But they, the ambulance, they all, like, kind of met halfway-ish is what kind of the way I took it.
Yeah.
They got Aldo in. They got Arthur in. And they took off everybody to the hospital. They're getting Charisma statements. And, like, it's just this huge chaos bubble of crap.
Yeah.
And they're telling the police, this is what happened. This is how it happened. This is what I did. This is what she did. Whatever. And across town, this man walks into an ER with a, with a gunshot wound.
Like, it hasn't gone out to the radio.
Right. With a gunshot wound.
It's not the 60s, bro. We talked now.
And police go to investigate. And what police did not expect.
Oh, no.
Is that their fellow officer, Henry Hubbard Jr.
He was a cop?
Was the gunman and
that
rapist.
Raped children?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's
he was
in double trouble in
cop.
Prison. Not only did
and,
you rape
everything,
child, but kill on sight.
Everything
you're
made sense now. Because all of the, what do they call it when the cops get together? The briefing room?
He's in,
he's in all the meetings.
So he knows,
what beaches they're staking out. He knows where not to go.
What a literal monster.
Yeah. Complete piece of absolute.
Oh, there's no way he made it to prison.
He got 56 years for the rapes. And I'm assuming the majority of it probably came from attempted murder.
Yeah.
If I were a betting woman. But yeah.
Oh, but you raped.
That SOB.
You raped.
Was a cop.
Children. And you're a cop. And you're behind bars.
Here's the crappy part. Not only was he a cop. Okay. But apparently a very good cop.
Like, yeah, because he has the mind of a criminal.
Right, right, yeah.
What makes you, that dichotomy just.
Charisma found out later
mm-hmm.
that he was her stalker.
Nuh-uh.
He confessed to it.
So he was just watching her in her apartment?
Yep, and trying to get in from time to time.
Golly bum.
Yep, and then took the opportunity when he was stalking her and saw her on the beach.
Wow.
Two men or no men apparently didn't matter to him.
Because he was cocky. He had cop training.
Yep.
But that explains the flat. When you know, when you said that he was shining a flashlight in the face.
Yep.
I was thinking about that one SVU episode where they were trying to figure out who the rapist was. And the girl kept saying like how she blocked the light.
Yeah.
And so Olivia figured it out and she was like, you know, she said she put her hand up like this mm-hmm. and she was like, who holds a flashlight like that?
Cops. Yep.
And Elliot was like,
and
cops.
That was another one of like the, you know, straw that broke the camel's back in his conviction was when the cops had arrived on the scene, the flashlight that he handed her.
Oh, she had it.
She had it. She had tossed it in the back of the Jeep when they were trying to get Aldo out.
Probably without thought. Like it.
Not even, yeah. They were like, they literally looked at it and they said, where did you get this flashlight? And she said, he handed it to me.
Oh.
And they knew it was a police issued. Yeah.
Jeez, oh, Pete. That poor girl.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, she came out recently publicly that one of the directors or the writer or somebody high up at the WB at that time when she was on Buffy was like super inappropriate.
Yeah.
Like Weinstein inappropriate with her, and like it was people, you know, the different co-stars were backing her, and like the mental abuse that she went through. So she lived through this,
yeah.
Helped catch a serial rapist, and then
yeah,
got famous because I did look it up. Buffy didn't start till 1997.
Mm-hmm.
So lived through this traumatic event, literally solved a serial rapist case, which God knows how long that had gone on with him being in the briefings, and then was victimized by her employment.
Yeah. Which is, you know, so unusual for Hollywood. Like, I can't believe anything like that would ever happen. Yeah. I hope you pick up on the sarcasm here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, that was my story for tonight, and it was a good one, and I said I'd tell you. So, she,
I like how actually, you just complimented yourself. That was my story for tonight. It was a good one.
It was a good one. I can only tell only because you started getting really giddy there. Like, you were, like, bouncing in your chair. Like,
well, number one.
Did he stab him?
2 degrees in your garage.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
Freaking cold. But number two, yeah, that was a good one. It had all the elements there.
It did.
So Lifetime,
and that's kind of why I wanted to do, like, the two different stories and then just sort of bring them together, right? So I got this idea because we both know I watch weird crap on TV, right?
You do.
But this particular deal is season one of Surviving Evil. It's the first episode.
Good show.
And she is actually the host of the episode.
That's cool.
And so, no, the host of the show.
Yeah.
And so they decided that they're going to tell this story. That's their first one. It's called Terror Beach.
Jeez.
And it is very interesting.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Dang.
And I will compliment myself if I want to.
Nobody else is going to, so, you know. That's what I was thinking.
Exactly my point. Exactly my point.
I was into that story. That was a good story. It was a good story. It had all the elements.
Yep.
I loved that her friends were like, not today.
Yeah.
Dang.
You know, it's so, like, and I know we could sit here and talk all day about, like, just the horrendous stuff that these victims went through, but I honestly can't help but feel bad for the men who got, diminished in power.
Because.
And they had to listen.
You know they blamed themselves.
Absolutely they did. I could have done something different. I could have done anything
different.
I should have
fought.
Different.
I should have ran.
Yep.
I should have.
Because that's what men do. Men
that's
are,
what everybody does when
yeah.
you live through that. What you should have done different. I mean, in any kind of situation. You get in a car wreck. You think about, oh, I shouldn't have been doing this or this. I should have done this.
Yeah.
Like, you always second guess yourself. But to have to sit there and listen to your girlfriend. Or your friend be raped,
yep.
knowing you just sat there. It's not like you could do anything. He had a gun. You were duct taped.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. No, it's like, it's literally like, how can I mind F everybody?
Monster.
Yeah. Like, how can I mind F everybody that has to live through this?
Jeez, oh, Pete.
Yep. Piece of crap, bro.
The kids, like, that's what, I mean,
yeah, that
the
one,
whole thing pisses
it always,
me off.
It always pisses me off
always.
More when it comes to children. Like, and it was actually, it's not funny, but in the interview of Charlene,
mm-hmm.
when she found out about the two young girls that were being victimized, that were victimized.
Yeah, they were raped.
Yeah,
yeah.
She was like, I can't even imagine because it was so hard for me as an adult to deal with. I couldn't imagine having to do that as a child. And my heart was like ripped from my chest, basically.
God.
Yeah.
That is insane. And I just don't understand. Like, I don't understand how you were a good cop and this lived inside you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I get that it happens and there are bad cops, but I
like, there are parts where, you know, they start talking about like him and his confession and how he doesn't fully understand his illness and like whatever.
Oh,
and
bull.
I know. I just can't. Like, there's just not a sympathetic bone in my body for people like that.
Oh, no.
Not at all. And, like, I'm not saying that people don't have issues. That's not what I mean. But, like, come on, man. You can't do stuff like that and be gruesome like that and expect to not be hated and expect for people
you're
to not
cop.
Think
you
that
know
you're
know what
at
happens
peace.
To those kind of people.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You put those people away.
And, like, just the cockiness of thinking, I can get away with this. Like,
well, technically, if it wasn't for her friends that night fighting back, he probably would have for a while.
Long while.
Wowza.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And I will say, Aldo did survive.
Oh, good. I figured because you were talking about them, yeah, like the interview with them.
Yeah.
Are they Saw friends?
That I don't know. It didn't say.
Oh.
I'm sure they stay in contact, but I don't know. Sometimes people are better off parting ways and forgetting about things like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just like, you know, parents who lose a kid 9 times out of 10, they end up getting a divorce just because they can't handle the shared grief.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if they were interviewed on that show, obviously, you know, I didn't know if you could tell.
It was Arthur and, what was her name?
Charisma,
thank
Charisma
you.
Charisma Carpenter.
Because I was thinking of the other girl. It was just Arthur and Charisma that did the interviews. Aldo was not there. So
well, I mean, he
took the brunt end of it.
His was more traumatic, but
yeah. Wow. After lots of surgeries and all kinds of stuff, he was good to go.
Jeez, oh Pete. That's crazy.
Yep.
Oh, well.
Balls of friggin' steel, though.
Yeah, that's good friends.
That is good friends.
Those are the friends you want.
Yep.
I just, my thing is she's sitting there beating on all those doors. Like, that's what bothers me in the story. I mean, lots of things bother me in the story. But she's beating on all those windows. She's beating, was just no one in those vehicles? They think she was a crazy person?
Who knows? You know what else kind of bothers me about it? It's like, California has a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Well, obviously someone heard and called the cops.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like,
but no one thought to go help?
No, they don't. People don't do that.
No, we talked about it
last week. We did talk about that last week.
The bystander effect.
No, the bystander effect. Yeah, absolutely.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, well. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I did like, I enjoyed your telling of the tale.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
My best.
You did do a good job that time.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's the story, guys.
That's the story. Sorry for all the derailments over here with Faith and her random stories of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
It was a great show, number one.
Never watched it.
What?
Okay, maybe I'll watch an episode or two tonight.
You gotta start like season 3 though, because the first episodes were kind of rough, but it was fun. I loved it.
Okay.
Spike, Drusilla, Cordelia, Xander, the chick from Willow. How I Met Your Mother, Lily, you know, the redhead.
Oh, yeah.
That's Buffy's best friend, Willow. And the ever-awesome Sarah Michelle Gellar as Buffy.
We like her.
She's in a new show now. Called, like, The Wolf Pack or something.
I just remember her in Scream.
I never watched that.
And the very awful way she died.
I never watched that, but thanks for that spoiler alert. You know they're coming out with a new Scream?
Hi.
Jenna Ortega's in it.
You know it's really funny?
Wednesday Addams.
I do. Yeah. I liked Wednesday. That was really great. But can we please be more original? Nobody makes movies anymore.
No, they don't.
It's
remakes. Oh, that was a good twist on the Addams Family, I felt like.
It was. I liked it.
And I got to tell you, Catherine Zeta-Jones nailed Morticia.
Mm.
Like, the look, everything, she had that one.
That's...
And I did like Wednesday.
She was definitely my favorite character, yeah.
I liked her a lot.
Her and the little wolfie girl, whatever her name was. She was great.
My daughter could tell you because she's watched 800
times.
Yeah,
I have no idea. I watch things once and then I'm like, I'll put this on while I go to bed.
NCIS is my bedtime.
I tried to start watching CSI again, like the old one with Grissom.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't get into it the way I used to.
But you know, BT Dubs, we're done with this story if you don't want to just listen to us chat.
Yeah, we're just literally shooting the garbage here.
But we're just going to continue talking. Bull that
Michael Weatherly,
it's gone. Like, the show's canceled. It's done.
Okay.
And he has been posting some very interesting little tweets.
Nope, that's not the same. I won't go back.
About how
Gibbs is gone.
He and Ziva have...
Ziva's gone.
No, that's what he keeps saying. Someone said, I would love to see Ziva and Tony together. And he said, keep watching, your wish could come true. Like, he's posting a lot of we're coming because the only, like, my mom she calls it Gibbs Saves the World, and literally my child knows the show, like, she knows the characters.
But Mark Hammond was just so good.
Oh, he was. It's like when they kicked freaking Greg off of Criminal Minds.
Yeah,
it was never the same.
Greg.
It was a great show.
Greg
Dharma and Greg. Yeah, he's
I know,
Greg.
But he was Aaron
Hodge. Hotchner?
He
was what made that show. I mean, it was still a good show afterwards, but it was never the same without Hotchner.
Mm-mm.
And I don't care that he kicked a freaking writer. Grow a spine, you
worthless.
Jerk. But anyway.
Yeah, and they're trying to, like, reset it with, like, and I do love JJ. I do love JJ.
It's not the same without the original.
But it's not. There's no Shamar Moore.
He just had a baby.
Shamar Malid. I saw that.
Little Frankie. Yeah. Little girl.
I'm sorry, guys. He's attractive. He is. I don't know what to tell you.
Shamar Malid is a nice looking man.
He's a good looking man.
But I had a whole thought process. Oh, yeah. But Tony or Michael Weatherby keeps posting little spoilers. Because mom said, because she was watching, I went to their house the other night, and she was, of course, watching Gibbs Saves the World. And because I always, like, anytime I see spoilers, I send it to her. So I was like, oh, did you see the thing I sent you about Tony and Ziva might be coming back? She said the only two people left on the show from the original are McGee and Palmer. They can't, Magoo cannot carry that show by himself.
No.
I love McGee, but it's not the same. Mm-mm. That's what my mom said. But if they brought back, and Tony has grown a mustache. Because he posted a picture on, like, Instagram, Michael Weatherby did, with a full mustache, and he said his daughter doesn't like it.
Yeah.
But now people are remembering when Gibbs went on hiatus in season four, he came back with a mustache. So what if Tony's going to pull a Gibbs and he'll be the new Gibbs? I'd be okay with him being the new Gibbs if Ziva was on the show.
If
but
Ziva's
I don't want
show.
A Gibbs Shepherd situation with
no.
him. No. I want it, – it's like Olivia he needs to be- and Stabler, I need to see the kiss.
Yeah. Well, not even that. I want the Michael Weatherly back that was so mean to Magoo.
Yeah.
Like, he just
all
made
the
they're
all
oh
the
my
nicknames.
Gosh.
Me and my mom were talking about that, all the nicknames. McGee, Magoo, MacGyver, all the things he called him. It was those are the good old days. But I do love that. I do love those
guys
episodes.
I'm sorry, we don't have much of a life outside of this podcast. So
we don't.
The once a week we get to see each other, we ramble.
And you just get to be part of that. Yeah. We're all friends.
And I'm totally fine with that.
We have 5 new friends in our group.
Woohoo!
I don't know why I always go with 5. We have 5 listeners. Although we have been I've been posting some great memes here lately on our Instagram, which is twistedtails_pod.
I try.
You know what? Everyone's favorite.
I apparently don't try hard enough. Like,
well, okay. I have learned in this past week because I posted one that had the awesome Stifler's mom,
mm-hmm.
the Legally Blonde, where she says dumbass.
Yep.
But it was podcast listeners that are like talk back when, you know, you watch a true crime documentary and they finally figure out who it is and you've known from the beginning and she goes, dumbass. People really liked her.
Yeah.
In that, which she's awesome anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, enough rambling. It's freaking cold.
Yeah, it is.
I got to go bathe my child.
I know.
Well, guys.
That groundhog better do the right thing tomorrow.
Is it Groundhog Day tomorrow?
It's February 2nd, isn't it?
I don't know the date. I didn't even know we're in February. I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, then I... Crap.
I don't know.
Calendars, times. Okay. Well, guys, I really hope you enjoyed the story. I hope you enjoyed maybe a little of the rambling just to kind of digress from craziness of life and the crap
yep.
that happens to you every day.
Yeah.
And just know
hope
that
you have a
no
friend
matter...
like Arthur Notto.
Yep. And no matter what happens to you in life, we're still going to do a podcast.
And run in a zigzag pattern away.
Yeah, and possibly be a part of our podcast one day or another because we went postal.
Yeah, could be.
Could be.
Could be.
Have a nice night.
Have a good night. Bye.
Bye.